by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a man who bought a brand new Mercedes, and he was driving out on the interstate highway, and it was a convertible. The top was down, and the breeze was blowing, and it was a beautiful day, and he decided, I'm going to see how fast this thing can really go. And so he hit the gas pedal, and soon he was going 80 miles an hour, then 90, then 100, then 110, 120, and actually had it at 130 miles an hour. And it was then that he noticed the flashing red and blue lights in his rearview mirror. He said to himself, they can't catch this Mercedes. And so he pushed the pedal to the floor, and before you know it, he was going 150 miles per hour. But those lights were still right behind him. So he thought, you know what, I'm going to be in really big trouble if I don't pull over. So he did. Police officer got out of his car, came over to him, and took his license and registration and really didn't say a word. And then he said, after he looked at his license and registration, he said, you know, I've been working all night. I'm at the end of my shift, and I'm exhausted. I don't feel like filling out any more paperwork, and so I'm going to make you an offer. If you can give me an excuse that I have not heard in my 27-year-long career, I'm just going to let you go. The man thought very quickly, and he said, well, officer, last week, my wife ran off with a police officer, and I was afraid that it was he that was trying to bring her back. The officer said, have a nice night, and left. Excuses. We come up with them, don't we? People are very good at making excuses. I probably could have concocted a list of excuses I've heard over the years, just why I wasn't in church kind of thing. But anyway, many times people make excuses for refusing Christ's offer of forgiveness, for rejecting his offer of an abundant and satisfying life. And today I want us to look at another parable, as we are studying some of the parables of Jesus, and we're going to look today at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to give you a moment if you'd like to turn there, and then I'll lead us as we read together. It says, beginning with verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant replied, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Here in our text, I need to give you a little bit of information because our text begins saying one of those seated at the table. So I want to just tell you a little bit more about what was going on. If you look a little bit earlier in the chapter, you would find that Jesus was in one of the Pharisees' homes to have dinner. And it was on the Sabbath. And it says that he was actually being watched very carefully by the Pharisees. And I believe that by this point in his ministry, there was a great deal of tension in the room. There was a man who was seated across the table from him that was suffering from dropsy. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Is it legal or lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath?" They just looked at him and didn't answer. And so he reached across the table and he healed the man. Then Jesus asked them another question in regard to the Sabbath, and again they did not answer. Then Jesus noticed that certain guests who were coming into that meal were given preferential treatment. Some were given special seats. And I'm sure that the tension escalated when Jesus said to them, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted." Then one at the table, who was probably proud and pious and religious, looked at him and said, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Again, just probably full of himself and full of his religious knowledge and practices. And Jesus responded with this parable. Essentially, Jesus was saying, if you do not respond or accept this invitation that is being given to you right now, not only will you not have the most honored seat, but you're going to find the door slammed in your face. The parable of the great banquet exposes the motivation and desire of many of these people who were religious, yet failed to know God. And so in our study, as we have been doing, I've been sharing some literal meanings, which are kind of the obvious. This sermon series is entitled Beneath the Surface. And we learned that Jesus told parables so that those who had ears to hear would gain nuggets of truth. And then there was an obvious lesson that anybody who heard it would get. And so I've been doing both of those in my messages. And today, the first literal meaning is don't make excuses. Jesus was basically saying, you know, like, these people were making excuses not to attend the banquet. And then secondly, if you don't attend, others will attend in your place. And I think that was a great lesson for those who were seated around that table, for those who needed to learn this lesson. And perhaps it's for us as well. Today I have three deeper meanings, and that's, of course, where we're going to dwell. And the first one is this: God extends an invitation to everyone. Here in our text, we see that there was this great banquet, and there were individuals who were invited. And as we read this, it's pretty obvious to us that we could say that the certain man, the one who is identified as a certain man in verse 16, was really a picture of who God is, representing God, inviting people to come. In New Testament times, it was customary when something was being planned that there was an advance telling. Today, many times when people are planning a wedding, they'll first send out a little postcard that says, "Save the date." And this was common then. They didn't send a postcard or an email, of course, but people were informed that this banquet was going to occur. And then when the time was ready, then again the servants came and said, "It is all ready, now you may come." And so it's important for us to understand that because of that customary practice of that day, it wasn't as if the people who were being invited were unaware. know, the reality is, these religious people that were sitting at that table, those who had knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, they were aware, yet unaware. They knew, and yet they failed to really see. And God was inviting people to himself. And he extends that invitation to everyone. I believe that's important for us to understand. The scriptures clearly tell us that he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God extends an invitation to everyone. You know, that's hard for us to understand because he knows everything about us. He knows the things that we have done. He knows the thoughts that we have pondered. And yet he continues to extend an invitation. We many times think to ourselves, if I was inviting people to spend eternity with me, I would be a little bit more selective. We would kind of choose who we were going to spend time with. But God extends that invitation to everyone. And I think that's very important for us to know and to understand. We get the idea, and certainly the people that he was sitting with, they were convinced that God was only interested in those who were upright and religious. They were convinced in their hearts that they were on the inside crowd. They were the ones that were above the sinners that Jesus spent time with. But God extends an invitation to everyone. I came across a story, and Tony Campolo tells a story. He was on a trip to Hawaii, and he said that he had trouble sleeping, and he went into a donut shop at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And as he was sitting there, he noticed that there were some women who he assumed were probably prostitutes. And they were sitting there, and they were talking, and one of the girls said that it was her birthday. And after they left, he found out that they came there every night. And he decided that he wanted to throw a party for this one girl. And some of the people that were part of the staff decided that they would bring in some decorations. And the next night, they gathered in the shop and waited for her to come in. And when they came in, they all sang happy birthday. And here's a woman who felt that nobody in the world really cared for her. And she was just stunned, and tears ran down her face. And she was so excited, she didn't even want them to cut the cake. She took it, and she left. In the silence, Tony Campolo says that he bowed his head and he began to pray, and he prayed for this woman. And one of the staff members looked at him and realized that he was praying, and then said to him, "You must be a preacher." And he admitted that he was, and then the man said, "What kind of church do you have?" And Tony Campolo said, "The kind that throws parties for prostitutes and gives invitations to sinners." And I think that story really illustrates the heart of God. God throws a party in heaven when any sinner repents and accepts his offer of forgiveness. How exciting that is. The second deeper meaning: everyone has a choice to accept or refuse the invitation. The individuals that were invited had to make a choice, either to attend or not attend. God gives us an opportunity to receive his forgiveness and to receive a promise of eternal life. But we have the ability to make the choice. The choice is, we can either accept it or we can refuse it. Here in this parable, we see three individuals. It seemed that they were too involved in the everyday affairs of life, too busy to think about spiritual things. In verse 18, we see the first rejection, and he says, this man says, I just bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me. Now, as we think about that, I have a question. Who in the world would buy a piece of property with sight unseen? Who would do that? And even if somebody had enough money to throw away that they didn't really care, it said, I need to go out and see it. But what time was this banquet? It was at night. That really wouldn't be the best time to go out and inspect a piece of property that you never saw before. And so it was, at best, a lame excuse. The man was more concerned, this man was more concerned about his investments than the invitation to this supper. This man reminds us of individuals today who are perhaps ignoring the need for spiritual things, the need for God, the need for forgiveness, and more concerned about collecting possessions and building wealth. Not that any of those things are wrong, because certainly they're not. But putting all those, the love for possessions ahead of a desire for God is really the problem. In the second rejection, in verse 19, the man says, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Again, this man was concerned with a team of oxen. Perhaps he was like the guy who just bought the new Mercedes, who wanted to see how fast they could go. This man, again, desired things more than God, more concerned about what he could accumulate. The third rejection in verse 20, it says, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And most of us would say, hey, wait, you know, that's not a bad excuse. I mean, this guy was on his honeymoon. But I think God makes it very clear that we need to put him ahead of others. Now, this guy, you know, we might be somewhat sympathetic to the guy. But I believe this man represents those who put others ahead of him. Probably every one of us in our minds could either recall a time in our own life or maybe the time in the life of others around us where people left faith or stopped practicing faith because of a relationship with somebody, or for maybe out of fear of being rejected by someone. Friends, peers, spouse, whatever. And as a result of their rejection, they were rejecting God. In the next chapter of Luke, or later in the chapter rather, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. You know, it's important for us to understand, Jesus wasn't telling anybody, that was supposed to come up there, it didn't, huh? Jesus wasn't telling anybody to hate anyone, but he was clearly saying that we need to love all of those other relationships less then we love him. He needs to be number one, first priority. And so we learn that we need to keep family obligations in balance. They should never keep us from God. Many people today in our world are invited to accept God's love and God's forgiveness. And what do? They make excuses. They even many times deny his existence, make light of his word, refusing the invitation to forgiveness and eternal life. And then the third deeper meaning is this: there are consequences for refusing the invitation. You know, we have a choice. We can accept or we can refuse. But when we refuse, there are consequences. And in verse 21, it says, the owner of the house became angry. And he said, go out into the streets and the alleys and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Again, Jesus was telling this story in the presence of individuals who were offering seats to their most influential guests. And here, having received rejection, the owner invited what they would have considered to be the dregs of society. They were inviting other individuals to come. And what I believe that Jesus is illustrating in this parable is that God is inviting others. Now, we understand that there is a bit of a lesson here in the fact that Jesus came on to his own and his own did not receive him. And God opened the door and extended that invitation to Gentiles. But I think there's more to this. And understanding that at the top of God's guest list are the individuals who are in need of forgiveness. He looks beyond the outer appearance. And he looks at the heart and he invites those who come. These individuals who were self-righteous, self-absorbed, he said, they won't even be at that banquet. Rather, those who are in need of a Savior are the ones who will enjoy. I have no idea what's going to happen when I hit this button because I have them at the wrong place. But anyway, we're not even going to go there now that I know what's next. But anyway, the point is that if we refuse that invitation, we will be lost forever. You see, at the core of our being, every one of us, no matter how good we try to look on the outside, no matter how righteous we may appear in the things that we do, the reality is at the core of every one of our beings, we have an issue, and it's called sin. When we compare ourselves to God and to His holiness, we find that we all fall short of His standard. And the Bible clearly tells us that there is a penalty for that. And it says in Romans 6, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news. The God who knows everything about us loves us, and He loves us enough to send His only Son to a cross. And He gives us an invitation. He gives us an invitation like the owner did here, inviting people to come to a banquet. He gives us an invitation as well. And that invitation is this: if you will believe in me, if you will accept my death as a payment for your sin, I will give you freely forgiveness, and I will freely give you an invitation to an eternal banquet that will be in my presence in a place called heaven. He offers that to us, but we have a choice. We can accept it, or we can refuse it. Sadly, those who refuse will miss out. Those who refuse will be separated from God for all of eternity. Now, you can imagine the tension that was in that room. Because here are individuals who are religious and spiritual. They are people who study the law. They are people who consider themselves to be living far above sin. And Jesus tells this parable, demonstrating that even those who were originally invited will not attend, will not be there unless they repent. What a sobering thought to consider. Realizing that among all of those guests, it is very likely that the only person at that table that would have really been in heaven was Jesus. All of the righteous, the self-righteous, would have found themselves outside. God desires for everyone to attend that great banquet in heaven. And the good news is, every one of us, our names are on that guest list. Every one of us. The question is, will we accept the invitation to attend, or will we refuse it? Now, I read the excuses these people give. That's like saying, I have to stay home and wash my hair. You know, that's kind of what it seems like. They all seem pretty lame to me. But you know, we come up with lots of excuses. I know people who will tell me that God can't forgive me because of the things that I have done. The Bible clearly tells us that the only sin that is unforgivable is refusing God's offer, rejecting God's invitation. And so we learn from this parable that God offers that invitation to everyone, no matter what they've done, no matter how many times they have fallen or failed, God extends an invitation for forgiveness. Then the choice becomes ours. Do we accept or do we refuse? And so I ask you this, what is your response to God's invitation? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for that invitation. We're grateful that God desires that each and every one of us would attend that great banquet, that every one of us would accept His invitation, that offer of forgiveness, that promise of eternal life. But really, as we have that invitation in our hands, we need to make a choice. That choice means that we must choose God over everything else, over everyone else. That invitation means that we need to accept what is being offered to us. We're grateful, Father, that You extend an offer of forgiveness and a promise of eternal life to anyone who will accept it. Perhaps you've never accepted that offer, and I want to give you that opportunity today. In the quietness of your heart as we're bowed before God, would you admit to Him that you have failed to keep all of His laws and commands, as we all have? Would you tell Him that you believe that when Jesus died on that cross, that he died to pay the penalty for you. He actually was there in your place, dying for your sin. You might say something like, Lord, I know that I have broken your laws. I know that I have violated your commands. And for that, I am sorry. I believe that when Jesus died on that cross, that he died for me. That he paid that penalty in my place. And right now, right here, by faith, I place my trust in him. And I accept that invitation to that great banquet. I accept his forgiveness. I accept his offer of eternal life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.